All right, I've been very thankful to have my children home. And when I was in Mount Vision, New York, from time to time, I'd have John preach for me. I'd have Nate, Micah. They'd all take their share in helping me out from time to time. And I've been always blessed when I have my kids preach. And I still remember some of the sermons that they have given. And so they are very capable of doing that. They may not feel that way, but there's a reason why I asked them to do it, because I believe they'd be a blessing to you as well. And Jonathan is going to come and present the word to you this morning, something the Lord's laid on his heart. So I trust you'll be encouraged by that, and we look forward to him bringing the word today. John?
Hi, good morning. It's great to be here this morning and worshiping with you. It's been great to be with Mom and Dad and with family for a little while, so we've just been enjoying our time here in Virginia and the sunshine, so we don't have much of that where I'm from in New York, so we're just praising the Lord for just his blessings and the things that we've been able to do since we've been here. Let's start with a thank you for allowing me to open God's Word with you. Appreciate that. It's a privilege. So before we start, let's start with a word of prayer, and we'll get into the God's Word. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you, God, for your grace and mercy, Lord, and it's you we want to lift up and exalt. And so I just pray that your Word would just go forth, and God, that you would use it, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would work in our hearts and just help me as I preach. God, that it would not be my own words or even preparation, but God, that it would just be all about you. And so we just ask that you would just be in every aspect of this service this morning, and that we would just grow close to you today. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. All right, so as I was praying about, when Dad asked me to preach, I was praying about what to talk about this morning, what to bring to you, I felt directed to the topic of setbacks, and as I was looking at kind of my life, how God has been growing us, growing our family, and seeing different setbacks, seeing different instances where we seem to go backward, and not only in the physical sense, but also in the spiritual sense of setbacks in our walk of faith, and just how God uses these different moments to bring us closer to him. And so I felt like that would be somewhere we'd start today, is something that we'd look at. And I'm going to be looking at the one specific scripture. But before that, I looked up, I don't think that's necessary since we're all pretty familiar with what setbacks are, but I looked up setbacks in the dictionary. And the way the dictionary defines it is setbacks is a stoppage, sudden pause of forward motion or progress that sets limits or restraints that can lead to defeat or reversal of advancement, to slow the progress, hinder, or delay. Okay, so setbacks are could be a problem, a difficulty, a hitch, a complication, upset, disappointment, misfortune, mishap, or reversal. So those are all things that, as I was looking up that word, that was provided there. So basically, when our plans change, when there's disruption in the flow of our life, in the ease of it, I guess, things should be going a certain way. We have everything mapped out, and then it changes. And I'm sure as we're even talking about, as I'm talking about this, I'm just thinking of setbacks that are coming up, that we've had, you know, even on this trip, setbacks that are happening in our lives. One thing I want to look at, Proverbs 16:9 says, "In the hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps." Proverbs 19:21 says, "Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand." So, in this verse, we see two things that, man likes to make plans, says many plans, and that ultimately, it is God, his purpose, his will, that will stand the test of time. So it's his purpose that will stand. Psalm 33:11 says, "But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever, the purposes of His heart through all generations." So it's natural for us to make plans. It's natural for us to set goals, and it not only is natural, but it is right. I mean, I think you would agree with that statement. That I'm not trying to say we can't make plans or put a negative light on setting up our future and making plans, because God says to be stewards of everything that we have. So stewards of our time, stewards of different things. So that includes, I believe, the making of plans. But it's when these plans fail to take place, or they change from what we thought they should turn out, or the way they should turn out, that is when what we consider a setback, and that's what can affect us one way or the other. So again, I'm sure in your own mind you can be relating, whether it's this week, this month, this Christmas season maybe, not everything turned out how you wanted it, or how you're thinking, or maybe even this year, as we look into the new year, 2015 is right around the corner, as we look into this new year, maybe reflecting on 2014, maybe it didn't turn out how we were hoping. Maybe events happened that really caught us off guard to what we had written down, to what we had planned, or what we had mapped out. So I want to look at the life of Joseph briefly. And Dad read in Genesis 37. We get to do that again, so that's good. So Genesis 37, we're going to look there briefly and see how God used setbacks in the life of Joseph and how He uses them in our life as well. So Genesis 37, we'll skip around a little bit, but 37 verse 5 through 11, so you can take your copy of God's Word and follow with me. "Now Joseph had a dream, and when he had told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. He said to them, 'Hear this dream that I have dreamed. Behold, we are binding sheaves in the field, and behold, my sheaf arose and stood upright. And behold, your sheaves gathered around it and bowed down to my sheaf.' His brothers said to him, 'Are you indeed to reign over us, or are you indeed to rule over us?' So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. But then he dreamed another dream and told it to his brothers and said, 'Behold, I have dreamed another dream. Behold, the sun, the moon, and 11 stars were bowing down to me.' But when he told it to his father and to his brothers, his father rebuked him and said to him, 'What is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall I and your mother and your brothers indeed come to bow ourselves to the ground before you?' And his brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the saying in mind." So in this section, we see that Joseph was promised glory. Joseph was, in his dream, he was promised glory and power. We see the setbacks start coming, as we see in verse 23, and we'll read 18 through 24. "They saw him from afar, and before he came near to them, they conspired against him to kill him. They said to one another, 'Here comes this dreamer. Come now, let us kill him and throw him into one of the pits. Then we will say that a fierce animal has devoured him, and we will see what will become of his dreams.' But when Reuben heard it, he rescued him out of their hands, saying, 'Let us not take his life.' And Reuben said to them, 'Shed no blood, throw him into this pit here in the wilderness, but do not lay a hand on him, that he might rescue him out of their hand to restore him to his father.' So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the robe of many colors that he wore, and they took him and threw him into a pit. The pit was empty, there was no water in it." Okay. So here we see that first setback. He was thrown into the well by his brothers. And then in verse 28, the Midianites traders passed by. They drew Joseph up, lifted him out of the pit, and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver. And then they took Joseph to Egypt. So the story is getting worse and worse, setback after setback. And then we see something remarkable in Genesis 39, that through this, woven into this story, is God's grace, is God's hand, is God's presence. Okay, so we don't put together, the fact that he's setback after setback, removal of the presence of God, but through this, through these setbacks, we see that God's presence is near Joseph, that his hand is strong in his life. And so Genesis 39, verse 2 through 4, the Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man. And he was in the house of his Egyptian master. His master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord caused all that he did to succeed in his hands. So Joseph found favor in his sight and attended to him, and he made him overseer of his house and put him in charge of all that he had. So not only was God with Joseph through these setbacks, but it was obvious. It was obvious to Joseph, and it was obvious to those around him that this wasn't Joseph's doing, that God was with him, and the favor of God was with Joseph. So then we see another setback come up through this. So God was blessing Joseph, even though he was a slave in a foreign country. In verse 21 of 39. Okay, so we'll start, let's see here. So verse 20. And Joseph's master took him and put him in the prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. And he was there in prison. And then we see in verse 21 that even though he was in prison, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison put Joseph in charge of all the prisoners who were in prison. Whatever was done there, he was the one who did it. The keeper of the prison paid no attention to anything that was in Joseph's charge because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made it succeed. Okay, so further, I didn't read it, but we see here that Joseph was wrongfully accused for something he didn't do by Potiphar's wife. She tempted him, tried to seduce him, and Joseph was, his integrity was strong before the Lord, and he stayed right before God, and yet he was accused wrongfully. And so he was, his situation got worse, so it looked like he was rising up through the ranks, maybe. In Joseph's mind, this is where it's all kind of coming together. This is going to be the climax of God bringing me to glory. And yet then he has this major setback of being thrown into, of being wrongfully accused. He's doing what's right, and he's wrongfully accused. So you just imagine what what's going on, going through Joseph's mind, this struggle here. And so he is... So now he is back, he is in prison. But we see that the Lord is with him. And then Genesis 40:23. So then we see that he is forgotten about in prison. So this, in verse 23, yet the chief cupbearer did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. So Joseph is in prison, and he comes in contact with a couple people, and interprets their dreams and asks the one, hey, when you get out before the king, when you get out before him, remember me. Tell him about what I did. Tell him, and maybe he'll deliver me. And the cupbearer said, promises that he will, and he is restored to his position before Pharaoh, and yet he forgets about Joseph. So another setback in the life of Joseph. But then we see in verse 41, it all comes to fruition. This long picture of from the dream to glory comes to fruition in verse 41. Let me get the wrong one here. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, verse 41 of chapter 41, see, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh took his signet ring from his hand and put it on Joseph's hand and clothed him in garments of fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him ride in his second chariot, and they called out before him, bow the knee. Thus he set him over all the land of Egypt. Okay, so we see this story, and I think, you know, Joseph was promised glory in his dream, was promised power in his dream, and Joseph might have seen the story looking something like this, like a straight line, right, from his dream to glory, to the fruition of what God said would happen to him. And yet we see in through the story as it goes down and it goes up and down and up, much like our lives, the setbacks. And so to achieve that victory, he became a slave. He had to become a slave in Egypt. And as that were not enough, when his conditions improved because of his integrity, he was made worse than a slave, a prisoner. And this is some observations from John Piper, but he says, but it was all planned, for there in prison he met Pharaoh's butler, who eventually brought him to Pharaoh, who put him over Egypt. What an unlikely route to glory. And I like that, because it's not what he planned, it's not what he had in mind. And I'm almost like so through that story, through the story of Joseph, we were familiar with that, how God worked that together and for his good. We see that Abraham, and we'll look at briefly at his life, Abraham was no stranger to setbacks. He endured many setbacks before the birth of his promised son, Isaac. Sarah was barren. They were both past child-conceiving age. They endured famines, family disputes, fought battles, made mistakes, and faced down impossibilities in faith. And we look at Romans 4:16-21. You can turn there. I'm going to read this passage as well as another in Hebrew. So Romans chapter 4. And 16 through 21. That is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his offspring, not only to the adherent of the law, but also to the one who shares the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations, in the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. In hope, he believed against hope, that he should become the father of many nations. As he had been told, so shall your offspring be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. So here, Abraham, in verse 18, is what I cling to. Against all hope, Abraham had hope. And he didn't look at the setbacks. He didn't look at his own lack of ability, or Sarah's lack of ability. Against hope, he had hope in the promises of God, and he believed in God's word. He believed what God said he would do, and that was accounted unto him as righteousness. Hebrews 11:8-12 says, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children, because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and his he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand of the sea, on the seashores. So we see through these setbacks that God is working out his plan, that God is woven in, and through the life of Joseph, that God was with him, through the life of Abraham, that God was with him. So through our setbacks, we want to look at these stories and how God is doing that in their lives and apply that to our own lives. By far the most glorious of stories, and as we just went through the Christmas season, we see the life of Christ. And once you look at that whole story, and how it came to be, it looks like a story of setbacks. It doesn't look like it was supposed to happen that way. But yet God had before time had this all for his glory, had everything planned out to be this way. So Jesus emptied himself and took the form of a slave, worse than a slave, a prisoner, and was executed. But like Joseph, he kept his integrity. And we look at Philippians 2, 1 through 11. Philippians 2, 1 through 11 says, "So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others." In verse 5, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." And his disciples, his followers, looked at that as a huge setback. You know, they were expecting him to come in and march in and just take over, set up a kingdom. And yet we see here that this apparent setback in verse 9, we see, "Therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." So as we look at these stories, as we look at the history of what God has mapped out before us, this is God's way for us too. We are promised glory, but we will experience a suffering in this life. We'll experience setbacks in this life. The way up sometimes is down. The way forward is backward. The way to success is through divinely appointed setbacks. And at the time, they will always look, they'll feel like failure. But if Joseph and Jesus teach us anything, we can see that God, in Genesis 50:20, Joseph says that God meant it for good. And that's what's for us, what we can take this morning, is that through these setbacks, through the seemingly chaos of our lives, that God is meaning it for good. And then we have a couple of different, we see in the life of Ruth, the story of Ruth is a series of setbacks. And John Piper says this about the story of Ruth. It says, "The signposts of God's gracious work in bitter setbacks. Ruth was written to help us see the signposts of the grace of God in our lives, and to help us trust his grace even when the clouds are so thick that we can't see the road, let alone the signs on the side. Let's go back and remind ourselves that it was God who acted to turn each setback into a stepping stone to joy, and that it is God in all of our bitter providences who is plotting for our good." So how do we, as believers, and that's who we're addressing this morning, is as believers in Christ, his goodness, his grace in our lives, his sovereignty, how do we respond to setbacks? And there are different ways that we do. We react to them in our own individual ways, and that's what we try to get away from, but they might be one of the following. Maybe we have a more aggressive personality, and we respond to setbacks or failures. We respond to them maybe with anger, maybe getting angry at someone or something. Or maybe we're more of a quiet person. We have a quiet disposition. We respond quietly by getting hurt or discouraged or depressed or bitter, or against different people, against God even. Or maybe we respond by worrying or being anxious. So there's different ways that we can look at failure, we can look at setbacks, and we can try to do it all by ourselves. We can try to react a certain way to get us through these setbacks. But we see that in Christ, all has passed away, all has become new, and so even these setbacks, we can look at them through eyes of faith, through eyes that God has given us, trusting Him through them. So, how do we trust God through setbacks? How do we trust God through setbacks? And the first one that I wrote down here is that we understand, we come to grips with the fact that God is infinitely good, that God is good. And a quote by Paul Tripp says, "What to know as we are going through hard circumstances and setbacks is that God is in absolute control and He is infinitely good." We see in a couple of verses here I want to highlight. Psalm 34:8 says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Experience His goodness. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in Him." 1 Peter 2:3 says, "Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good." So now you have tasted that the Lord is good. So we experience His goodness to us. And then we see in 1 Peter 5:7 that He gives us this invitation to cast our anxieties, to cast our burdens on Him. We see in 1 Peter 5:7 and also in Psalms 55:22, it says, "Cast your burden on the Lord, and He will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved." So as a follower of Christ, as someone who has, we're in right standing with Him, we're in relationship with Him, we know His goodness, we trust His goodness, that no matter what happens to us, He is a good God. Ultimately, He is a good God. And we can believe His word, we can come to grips with it in our own hearts. And also on the other side of that is that we, in the quote from Paul Tripp, that we realize that God is in complete control. So we first that we understand that God is good, and then that we realize that God is in complete control over all situations. And as in the life of Joseph, He was there throughout it all. That He never left Joseph alone. He was there through every part of that story. And He's there through every part of our story. If we trust Him. So Psalm 139, 13 through 16 says, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." So what does this mean in relation to our setbacks? That God has ordained everything, okay, going on in our lives. He knows all about it. Setbacks to us are not setbacks to God, but they're part of His divine plan for our lives. And so we are to know that He is good. We are to realize that God is in complete control and that His way is perfect. 2 Samuel 22:5 and 31 says, "For the ways of death encompassed me, the torrents of destruction assailed me. This God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord proves true. He is a shield for all those who take refuge in Him." And then we see that to trust God through our setbacks, that we realize that we see that God's grace is sufficient for us. And we can also see in that regards the life of Paul. Okay, so, I mean, there's just so many instances in God's Word that are there for our benefit, our edification, that Paul had many physical setbacks. He had many just setbacks in general. Plans that he had written out, things that he was going to do. He's going to go to Rome. He's going to do this. And yet, setback, setback, setback. And then we see that he had this physical setback that he asked God to remove from him. But through the setback, he found that God's grace was sufficient, that God's grace was enough. And so 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient to you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me.'" So then we looked at the trust God through setbacks. We understand We see that God is good, that He is a good God, a gracious God. We realize that He is a God that is in complete control of not only our lives, but the world around us. Is as much faith as we need sometimes to think that, but God is in complete control of everything that's going on around us. God's grace is sufficient for us, for our trials, for our setbacks, and also that God has your good in mind through these trials, through these setbacks. That God has my good in mind through these setbacks. And we see that in His Word in Jeremiah 29:11, just a really encouraging verse of Scripture that we've all looked at is Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. So you may not know the plans that God has for you. You know, you may not have know the plans that you had 1 minute and then were gone the next minute, but yet God knows the plans He has for you. And they're not to hinder you, but they're to give you hope in a future, hope in Him. Then in Romans 8:28, it says, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose. So, and sometimes, the working together for good, that's what was going on in Joseph's life. It didn't look good to Joseph. It didn't look like how he had planned it. And it doesn't always look good to us, but yet God is working it, and God is there every step of the way. As He was in the life of Joseph, and so He is in our lives. But by giving up our control over a situation, we are letting God establish our steps. So realizing that maybe this isn't how I saw this happening, but yeah, God is in control of it and working it for His purposes, for His glory. In closing, as we look at setbacks, one of the things that I've noticed in my life, I know all this, and I'm not preaching this in a way that, like, it's new information. We've read God's Word, we've read these passages, they're really familiar to us. But when we're presented with setbacks, when I'm presented with setbacks, I tend to, instead of what God wants to do, I tend to withdraw. From God's Word during that setback. It's almost like it's, like we treat it like a spiritual timeout, that we have a setback, we have this failure, we have this thing that we're presented with. What we need to do most is we need to draw near to God. What we need to do most is not neglect His Word, not neglect prayer, but we're tempted to do that first because we want the opportunity to react a certain way or to react in the flesh. To be disappointed, to be upset, shed a few tears, whatever. But God is there, as we saw in Psalm 55, to cast our cares upon Him. So in your setbacks, in the moments of failure, draw near to God. Be close to Him. Even though that's something that's harder for us to do. So we often look at the small picture, the one that's right in front of us, but God is the one who's seeing all of it. He's seeing how it's all working out to accomplish His will, His purposes, and the ultimate glory. And I think of it like when you're playing a sport or you're playing basketball or you're doing something, you tend to like miss certain things. Okay, you're in the game. People are shouting at you to do this, do this. You tend to like, you know, you miss it because you're right in the moment. But yet when you're like watching it on TV, you're the perfect player of the sport. You know all the right moves. You know all the things to do because you're seeing every angle of it. You're seeing everything. And God is the one that has it all mapped out. He sees everything that's going on rather than the one thing at a time. So we can trust Him. We can trust His goodness and the fact that He has our interest in mind. And so I hope some of these things are helpful as we look at the life of Joseph, the life of Abraham, some of these setbacks that God is working them for our good, for ultimately a closer relationship with Him and a walk with Him. So let's pray in closing. Dear Father, we just thank You for We thank you for your presence. Thank you, God, for your great love and sacrifice to us through Jesus. And Lord God, that we have everything we need in you. We have everything we need for a relationship, a walk with you. And so, God, we just pray that you would help us, Lord, to have eyes of faith, or that our eyes would not be on the waves, so to speak, around us, the failures, the setbacks, but God, that we would just see a loving God orchestrating all these things. And Lord, that we would just turn to you through setbacks and failures in our lives. And we thank you, God, for who you are.
Thanks, John. Really appreciate that reminder that God is sovereign. He's working through those setbacks, isn't he? And we certainly notice them in our own lives. I know that I've noticed. It's funny. He's preaching on setbacks, and two of our children that were supposed to be in children's church came up here. Setback, minor, but, you know, it's an illustration. Things don't always count on, you can't count on them happening the way you felt they would happen. So, I really appreciate that. Very, very appropriate.